You would think on Easter Sunday we could remember the pulpit. I tell you what, go ahead, put out all of the laughing ha-ha faces out there right now, and now I'm ready. Here we go. Happy Easter. I'm gonna start different anyway. This was not how I expected to start different, but this is good. I'm gonna pray for us first, then we're gonna read the text. The text is gonna be 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 50. So if you have your Bibles at home, go ahead and get those out, because as soon as I pray, we're gonna get into the reading of the text, and we're gonna jump right into the message this morning. So let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we can come together. Lord, even if we're not here, we're together in spirit, and I pray, God, that you would allow this time to be a time that we would recognize you for who you are, that you are the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Lord, that you reign triumphant, and we can worship and celebrate you today. I pray for every member and every person that's a believer that's watching right now, that you would strengthen them and encourage them during this time. Lord, I pray for everyone who may be watching that's not professed you as Lord, and maybe they're tuning in this morning and they're wondering, what is this whole Christian thing about? I pray, God, that you would speak to their heart right now, that they would look up to the heavens and they would look to you for their help, God. So bless this time, bless the reading of your word. Father, help me to preach plain and clear, so plain that a child could understand. I understand, Lord, that there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. And all of God's people said, amen. 1 Corinthians 15, starting verse 50, Paul writes, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I'm here to tell you this morning that there is a king, and he has a kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world. Flesh and blood cannot inherit this kingdom. You can't purchase a lot in this kingdom. You can't buy a timeshare in this kingdom. You can't drive to this kingdom. You can't even fly to this kingdom. You must be born into this kingdom. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. His kingdom is of another world. The mortal must put on immortality. The only hope that we have is the reality that Jesus rose again on that third day and is alive forevermore. Because Christ rose, all who are in Christ will rise again and live in his everlasting kingdom. Happy Resurrection Sunday. The King is triumphant. Amen. Post out there, say that. The King is alive. He is risen. Let somebody know out there in Facebook world that we celebrate a risen Lord. Jesus is alive. Post that. Post something. He is triumphant. This year we have focused on the word distinct. Distinction is something that is a marked difference, unique, something that stands out. We have been looking at the reality that we serve a distinct God. He is unlike any other. He has a distinct purpose, a distinct kingdom, and a distinct people. He is the one and only true King. Jesus, the King, came to gather himself a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. At his birth, the angels rejoiced in celebration, but at his death, the soldiers gambled for his clothes. At his birth, all heaven rejoiced at his death, all heaven was silent. This Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, the very Son of God, the God-man, 100% man, 100% God, 100% of the time. He took on flesh to undo the sin that our first parents did so that we might be made into a new people under the headship of Christ. This Jesus, he was a carpenter's son, a prophet that wasn't even welcome in his hometown. He walked the streets of Jerusalem teaching that a kingdom was near. This Jesus, he was a king, the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came to herald a message and proclaim deliverance to the captives, brought sight to the blind, to set the prisoners free, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. This Jesus, he was hung on a Roman cross, placed in a borrowed tomb, and was alive again on Sunday morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday. The King is triumphant. Amen. I don't know about you, but I celebrate a God of life and not death. I serve a God of hope and not despair, the God of the eternal and not the temporary. I want you to know that we serve a king that is sovereign. He doesn't want you to live in fear of this virus, but in triumph of our faith. He doesn't want you to fear death, but to take hold of life. Can I just say, in this time of uncertainty, when we're taking all the precautions necessary to stay healthy, to defeat this pandemic, can I remind you that there is something more serious than this virus? Jesus said, "Do not fear the one who can kill the body. No, rather, fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell." I believe that this is a wake-up call for America and everyone across the world. I believe that now is the time that we don't look to ourselves for the solution, but that we lift our eyes up to God for the solution. I think this is a time when God is allowing us to have everything with a big giant pause button in our life to evaluate what is truly important, what really does matter. What is it that we really need to be focused on in life? There is something more important than your mortal body. It is your immortal body. There is something more important than the physical. It's the spiritual. There is something more important than your economy. It's your eternity. And I wonder this morning, do you know for certain that if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home? Because can I tell you, there is a king who has come, and the king has made his invitation. And the king has extended the invitation to all of you. And can I tell you that the king loves you? And he invites you to be a citizen of his kingdom. How do I know that the king loves you? I know it because of the king's last words. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he cried out to his Father, but he also spoke and prayed for certain individuals, and he also spoke to certain individuals. In Luke chapter 23, verse 32, it tells us, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Man, I don't know about you, but that blows me away. Jesus is being crucified. He's being mocked. ridiculed. He'd been spat on, beaten, bruised, humiliated, stripped. And listen to the words of the king as he looks at those who are piercing his flesh through the wooden beams. He cries out to his father for compassion on the very people who were crucifying him. And he says, "Father, forgive them." Wow. How great a love the Father has upon us that we might be called children of God. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He says, "Father, forgive them." They don't understand what's going on. His prayer of grace and mercy to fall upon these individuals to me is astounding. It tells me what kind of love that our God has for people, for you. Peter writes and he says, "The Lord is not slow, as some of you count slowness, but know rather that God is patient. He is long-suffering, desiring for all to come to repentance." Can I tell you that Jesus has extended the invitation to his kingdom, and he wants you to participate. He wants you to accept. He wants you to call upon his great name. He wants you in his kingdom. Another demonstration of Jesus' amazing love for those who were his enemies. But also he demonstrates his love for those who are his family and his friends. And John's gospel tells us in John chapter 19, verse 25, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." We believe this disciple to be John, the beloved disciple. As all the other disciples scattered and was not there, there was John who was there with the mother of Jesus. And I can't imagine the pain that a mother felt seeing her son in humiliation dying a most excruciating death. As I'm sure she is wailing and weeping, and John has tears flowing from his eyes as they look at the disfigured body of Mary, her son, and John, his teacher. Jesus takes a moment to speak to his mother and say, "Behold your son." In essence, he's telling John, "John, I need you to take after him and watch after my mother. I love her. She's precious to me. And I know that you will take good care of her. Mom, I want you to know that John, man, I love this guy. He's one of my closest disciples. I trust him with you." The amazing love that Jesus had as he shows compassion and love for his enemies, but he also shows love and compassion for his mother there at the cross while he was in pain and agony and dying, I think speaks to the volumes of how great of a king we serve. His love is amazing, it's enduring, but it doesn't stop there. We have another conversation on the cross that gives us a glimpse to the heart of our Lord and to the heart of our King and the desire for our King to protect and love and invite all to come into his kingdom. Luke 23, verse 39, we read that he was crucified by two criminals. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. So you have one criminal mocking Jesus. And the other criminal, at some point, he had a change of heart. Was it the cry of the forgiveness from Jesus to his Father to forgive those who were crucifying him? Was it the compassion that he heard as Jesus spoke to his mother? What was it that made this criminal change his mind? But this other criminal looks and rebukes the other criminal and says, do you have no fear of God? It's a good question, isn't it? Do we have any fear of God? Do we fear him? Because we're guilty. The criminal says, we have done wrong. The reason why we're being crucified is because we have committed crimes and we deserve this, but this man, he says, has done nothing wrong. He recognized the righteousness of the King, of Jesus. Now watch this. He just doesn't stop there. Look at verse 42. And he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, and Jesus says to this thief, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Wow. Isn't that amazing? What did this criminal have to offer Jesus? He couldn't live a life of obedience to him. He was being crucified. What did Jesus gain by pardoning this criminal? Gained another citizen in his kingdom. Have I told you that the king has a kingdom? And he loves you? And he's extended the invitation to you? And he wants his kingdom filled? I want to break this down just for a minute. I want you to see what this criminal did, because it's something that we all need to do. For those of us who are now believers in Jesus, we've all taken the steps that this criminal has taken. And this morning, if you're watching us, or in the future, if you get on later and watch us right now, I want to talk to you for a moment. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus as Lord, listen, I've got good news for you, because I want you to see what this criminal did. The first thing that he did is he admitted his sin. He said, I'm guilty. I have committed crime. I am not righteous. You know, the Bible says that we must confess our sin, repent of our sin. The first step to recovery, they always tell us, is to admit you got a problem. And so the first step to salvation is to say, hello, my name is Grant, and I am a sinner. I have committed crimes against a holy God. I am guilty. But he just didn't stop there. Then he turned to Jesus and he acknowledged his righteousness. This man has done nothing wrong. We admit that we're a sinner, that we have fallen short, and that God is holy, that Jesus is righteous. And then he calls upon the king. He asks Jesus, Will you remember me? Now, you know, is there a magic prayer to pray to be saved? Is there specific words you've got to say? The answer is no. What you got to do is cry out. The Bible says, for all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who believes in their heart and calls forth and calls upon the name with their mouth, that they will be saved. And so this man, he prays a prayer. He cries out to the king the best he knows how, and he asks Jesus to simply, will you remember me in your what? Kingdom. I think that's interesting. That he specifically uses the word kingdom. He recognized Jesus was the king. He was the king, the savior, the messiah, the redeemer. And he simply asked Jesus, Jesus, I know I have nothing to offer. I know I haven't lived a life worthy. But I'm just asking, would you remember me? This morning, if you want to be saved, if you want to know Jesus as Lord, you just got to pray. Say, Jesus, I have sinned. I've fallen short. And I know I don't have a lot to offer, but I'm just asking you, will you forgive me? Would you remember me in your kingdom? Would you grant your mercy to me? And then Jesus, the most wondrous words I'm sure that this man could ever hear, he says, today you will be with me in paradise. Wow. Yeah, I'll remember you. And not only will I remember you, but you're going to be with me in paradise. You see, there is a reality after we die. It just isn't game over. There is a place that everyone who dies, their soul will go somewhere. It'll either be with the king in his kingdom in paradise, or it will be in hell in rebellion, experiencing God's wrath and judgment. This morning, he offers that invitation for you to come, to be saved, to be redeemed, to be extended into his kingdom. And at the sixth hour, the Bible tells us, darkness covered the earth. While it was still daylight, the sun refused to shine. And darkness covered the earth. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is experiencing the weight of the sin, the burden that he carried, that the judgment of God was falling on him, and that he was bearing my sin, my shame, your shame, my guilt, my death that I deserved. He was bearing that. And then he cries out, I thirst. Fulfilling scripture and crying that so that we would never have to. And then the cry of the king that echoes throughout the hills of eternity, he cries out, it is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said that, he breathed his last on Friday. The sun refused to shine on Friday. All hell rejoiced on Friday. The angels fell silent on Friday. The disciples fled on Friday. The king was dead on Friday. But on that third day, early Sunday morning, the Son of Righteousness dawned on Sunday. Hell was defeated on Sunday. The angels sang in celebration on Sunday. The disciples were gathered on Sunday. The king was alive on Sunday. Up from the grave he arose as a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor over the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose, Happy Resurrection Sunday. Therefore, Paul says, I tell you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the perishable. And the last verse in 1 Corinthians 15 tells us this. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Can I tell you, our life lived for the Lord is not in vain. How we live for Jesus is not in vain. All that we do for the King and his kingdom is not in vain. There is another city worth living for, and it's the city of God. Can I tell you and be real honest with you right now on this Easter morning? Nations will rise and nations will fall. There will be kings of the earth and leaders of the earth and rulers of the earth and presidents of the earth, and they will all rise and they will fall. There's been great nations throughout world history, great empires throughout world history, and they have all fallen. And yes, that means also America one day will crumble. But there is one kingdom that is unshakable. There is one kingdom that cannot be stopped. There is one kingdom that is eternal, and that is the kingdom of God. It is Jesus and his kingdom, and he's inviting you today to be a part of that. And my friend, those of you who are believers, all that you do in service to him, when you give to his cause, when you witness to your friends, when you say yes to Christ, when you remain silent when other people mock, when you live a life that's holy and pleasing to God, that's not in vain. It's not in vain. I can tell you this. There is appointed a time for all men to die and then the judgment. That is a reality, and that will happen. The goal in life shouldn't be that we survive this pandemic. I pray we do, and we all do, and I pray safety over you. But the goal in life should be, and will I survive the judgment? When I stand before a holy God and he judges my life, will I be found clothed in righteousness of Christ and what he has done? Or will I be trying to stand before him with my own filthy rags? The good news of Easter is this. Jesus died a death that I deserved. He paid a debt that I owed. And he rose again so that I could live forever. He did that not just for me, but he did it for you. I want to ask you this morning, if you've never called upon the King to save you, if you've never looked to Jesus to say, hey, would you remember me in your kingdom? I've sinned. I deserve death. I deserve hell. But Jesus, I'm asking you to remember me. Would you pray a prayer? Would you call upon him? It doesn't have to be these words, but something that's just as simple as this. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I need a Savior. I do believe you died on the cross for my sin. I do believe you rose again. Save me. Would you remember me, this unworthy criminal before the high court of God? Would you remember me? Would you forgive me? Thank you for saving me. And if you've trusted in Jesus, You've called upon his name. We want to hear from you. Pastor John is looking over the Facebook Live right now, and he's putting things out there, and he's letting you know how to contact us. We want you to be able to reach out to us and say, hey, I asked Jesus if he'd remember me. I want to be in his eternal kingdom. I want to live in triumph and not defeat. I want to serve the King. I want to invest my life in something that eternally matters, that makes a difference. Because this life is short. It's but a vapor. It's here for a moment and then it's gone. Have you trusted in Jesus? And those of you who are believers this morning, be encouraged. Have faith. Let your faith be lived. Be steadfast, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much.